Good morning. This is Becky Speets, direct sales specialist and the Christian direct seller. And I'm so blessed and honored that you're here with us this Monday morning, or if you're listening to the recording, that you are with us. And God has got an encouraging word for all of us today, and I'm really excited to have you be with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick before we open and start our study. Father God, thank you so much for this amazing day. We thank you for sunshine. We thank you for warmer weather. Lord, we thank you that here in San Antonio and in the places that are experiencing a drought, Lord, I pray that you will give us rain. For those of us that have had rain or these horrific storms and these tornadoes, Lord, I pray that you will give them a peace and a calming in that storm. Lord, we just ask for your showers of and your rain to come down of blessing and not storms. But we do know that you are with us in the middle of every storm and that you've given us the authority to calm the storms. Calm the storms in the weather and also calm the storms in our life. So, Lord, we boldly take that authority now in Jesus' name, and we command the storms to calm, to be at peace. And, Lord, I pray that you'll speak through my mouth of clay, that you will give me supernatural recall of your word, and that our hearts would be circumcised afresh so we could see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and walk away not the same as we came to this study, Lord, but walk away fresh, renewed, and a fresh anointing. Lord, I pray that you will just bless us as we talk about restoration and how you plan to restore us. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was praying and preparing for our lesson this week, God just kept speaking the word restoration to me. So I thought, well, we've got to talk about restoration. Do you know that in Joel 2:25, it says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I don't know about you, but in my own life, I feel like there's been times that I don't know if it was because of the enemy attacking, if I opened the door to some kind of sin and let the enemy come in and destroy, or what the exact reason was, but I feel like I've had things taken away from me. I feel like I've had things that have been eaten up. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes even in my own business, I think, oh, we're going to turn the corner, we're going to have a huge surplus, and then all of a sudden, something happens, and it takes everything that we thought was going to be extra. I don't know with you if it's maybe been bookings or recruits or trip points or sales or what it might be for you. But I think we all could attest that at some point in our life, we've had things taken from us. I've even had where my children seem to have walked away from the Lord, and I couldn't understand it because I was standing on the promises. I was confessing the word. We raised them as Christians. And as a mother, I'm sure you can understand the incredible pain and the heartache that that was for us. But I believe that Joel 2:22 is one of the most incredible promises found in the Scripture. Because we have so many promises of hope and joy and salvation and all of those things. But what about those times when we feel like, Lord, we've done everything right, or we've sat here and things were perfect, and then all of a sudden, it was like something came and just devoured it all, whether it was our joy, our energy, our relationships, our health, our finances, whatever it is. But God is so good to us not to leave us just in that state. You know, many times because of past sin and maybe even some indiscretions, we go back and we kind of beg and plead with the Lord. We're like, oh, Lord, we'll make it up to you. We're going to do the right thing now, and we're going to make amends. But God tells us that we have it all wrong. He promises us that he will make up for our destroyed years, all those years of being wasted, stripped, broken by the enemy. The Lord tells us that we cannot even repay him for a single wasted second, that he's going to make up our losses and those of our family. You know, God created us for his eternal purposes. We were birthed in the redemption blood of Jesus for a satisfying life, joy unspeakable, and to be full of his glory. But sometimes because of the sin we allowed to enter into our lives, his plan for us was, I guess we could probably say, interrupted. And we spent many wasted and lost years. Just as he did in Joel, though, God now speaks to each and every one of us and wishes that the lost years could be restored to us. How can God restore what was lost, you might wonder? Well, he can give us a life filled with joy and victory that's far beyond our own capabilities and talents. Isn't it good to know that because God is so awesome, that he can do so much more? We think, oh, if we just did this or we did that, and we look at all the ways that we can control things instead of looking to God to be our source and letting him multiply the talents or just show up in an amazing way. He can do so much more if we are just filled with joy, we believe, and we stand in faith. We also have to ask. But I want you to know that in Christ, we can go further and accomplish more than we ever imagined was possible. That's why I love the verse Ephesians 3:20. Because we want to give God the glory and the praise for what he can do in and through us that's exceedingly abundantly, far more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. We can stand upright today as if we had never sinned, as if we had lost no time, and as if we were right where we would have been had the devourer never come. God puts us right back on his divine schedule. His eternal purpose and plan are right where he planned them to be. Nothing is lost. You know, many times God can even do greater things in the latter than he could have done in the former. A lot of times we just become completely sold out to him, and he can restore, not only just restore, but he can give us things that are far greater than we ever thought. So I wanted to give you a couple of verses around different areas of restoration, because you know that I believe that if we ask in Jesus' name, that we receive it right at that moment. But we need to stand confessing the word and believing and rejoicing and standing in thanksgiving until we see it. So I wanted to give you those verses to confess. If you need healing, maybe restoring of joy or honor, Jeremiah 30:17 says, "For I will restore health to you and your wounds. I will heal, declares the Lord." Isaiah 61:7 says, "Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion." So he doesn't want us to have shame. He doesn't want us to say that we're going to try to work our way, because how can we receive a free gift if we go and try to work for it? I mean, I've given you the analogy before. If I was going to give you a birthday present, let's say, and I hand the gift to you and I say, oh, here's your gift. And you would say, oh, what do I owe you for this? How can I pay you for this? Let me work this off. Let me do this. You know, I just couldn't accept this unless I could work at it and I could get it. It's not the same, right? Then it's not a gift. And we want to follow God's plan. Let's do it his way. So instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land they shall possess a double portion. And listen to this. They shall have everlasting joy. If you battle depression or you battle with feelings of frustration and you don't have that joy, I want you to stand on that verse, Isaiah 61:7. You're going to have a double portion of joy. You're going to have everlasting joy. I love that. I think that's so encouraging. As far as restoration and healing of joy and hope, there's also Joel 2:25-26, which we just read earlier, but I wanted to go further, and I wanted to give you the verses combined. It says, "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame." So if you're dealing with shame, just know that God wants to restore you back. He wants to give you so much that you're not only going to be satisfied, you're going to have more than enough. And that we need to remember to praise the name of our Lord, because he's dealt wondrously with us. If we need to have a restoration of fortunes, listen to this in Job 42:10. "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." So that might be another good practice. When we're feeling like, boy, we've had everything robbed or stolen or taken from us, or we need some kind of restoration, especially around finances, we need to pray for our friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God wants to bless us. You see, he doesn't want to just give us back what we had before. He wants to give us a double portion. What about those of us that maybe need spiritual restoration? Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. He says, you know, come on, let's talk. Come in and into relationship with me. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall be like wool." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." All we have to do is just come back to the Lord, just like he said, and say, "Lord, I want to talk for a minute. I want to have my sins not be like scarlet, but to be white as snow. I want to be pure in you, and I want to be that new creature. And I know that if I accept you as my personal Savior, or I come back to you because I've walked away," that's what he's going to do. He's going to restore us. He promises. What if you need that restoration of joy? It's so funny how much the Lord kind of knew we might need to be reminded of this over and over again, especially when we're talking about restoration. But it tells us in Psalm 51:10 and 12, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." So it's not that we're going to say, "Make me obey you, Lord," that, you know, all of a sudden that we need to just absolutely be perfect, or that's the only way we can be in relationship and have the joy of the Lord. No. He said, you know what? All David did was come back and say, "Lord, my heart's dirty. I need a clean heart. I've messed up." That's all we have to say to him. Be just like David. And then say, you know what? "Renew a loyal spirit in me. Help me to be more loyal in my time with you. Help me be more loyal in my relationship with you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Help me to feel like I did when I first became saved and I felt your newness in my spirit. And make me willing to obey you." It's so good just to know that God's willing to do all of that for us. What about if we needed a restoration of hope? You know, Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So how is hope restored? It's with all joy, and it comes from peace in believing. So we need to, when we ask the Lord for something, we need to be joyful, and we need to have peace in believing. We need to continue to believe in peace, not fretting and worrying, "Lord, are you really going to do it? I don't know. I better remind you again because you might not have remembered." No, he remembers everything. We need to have peace in believing. That's where our hope comes. In Zechariah 9:12, it says, "Return to your fortress, O prisoner of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you." So the Lord again is promising twice as much hope. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Let me ask you, if he's the Lord of all flesh, and when we become married, we become one flesh, if you need your marriage restored, let's read this verse again. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Of course the answer is no. The Lord wants to restore to us our families as well. And he wants us to do that by loving. Do you know what it says in 1 Peter 4:8? "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin." If you've got a wayward child, I want you to stand on that verse. I don't want you to beat up your kids and remind them of their sin every time you see them or talk to them or Facebook them or whatever it is that you do with your relationship with them. But sincerely love them. Love them earnestly. That means passionately, fervently. I'm not saying that you have to love the sin they're involved in, but I am saying love them. Let them know that they are loved. Why would they ever want to come back to the Lord or even into your family relationship, into a place where they didn't know they were loved? God is love. That's how he restores relationships. Do you know it tells us in Proverbs 17:9 that love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And I want you to also put in there family. In the ESV version, it says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates. So don't allow the enemy to come in and separate, because I can tell you right now, the enemy would like nothing more than to cause division and separation. But God is a God of restoration. He's a God of hope. He's a God of joy. He's a God of peace. He's a God of healing. He wants you to walk in restoration. You know, I'm reminded of the verse Mark 11:24 that tells us, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. You know, I don't know what it is exactly that the devil's stolen from you, but I want to promise you today, if you will believe with unwavering faith, whatever it is, God will restore it back to you. I'm believing that with all of my heart. So right now, I want to put the devil on notice. Mr. Devil, you will not claim victory in our lives. You will not claim victory by stealing, as if you were the locust that were stealing and taking things from us. We're putting you on notice that you will not claim any more victory in our life. We are cutting the heads off of our giants. We're saying, mountain, move, in Jesus' name. We are going to command and take authority over every area in our lives, in Jesus' name, because he's given us that power and that authority. We're going to start acting like the word of God is true. God is our restorer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you. And we know that so much has been taken because of the indiscretions in our lives, the sin that we've allowed into our lives. We know that was never your intention. And Lord, we refuse to walk in shame anymore. We rebuke shame in Jesus' name. We walk in joy. We walk in honor. We walk in hope. We walk in purity, in total faith, in total health, with hope. We command that broken relationships be restored, that families be restored, that businesses be restored, that spiritual lack is being restored in Jesus' name. There's a newfound trust that we are putting in Jesus. Lord, there's been so much that's been ravaged and destroyed in Arkansas, Lord. We ask that you would meet the need and bring peace and hope. Lord, that you would give them, each one that's lost anything, including their hope, that you would give it back to them in a double portion. Lord, I ask now, in Jesus' name, that all of those that have had finances lost, that you would restore it and give them a double portion, that you would remind us to pray for our friends, that you would remind us and help us to be faithful to you, walking in all joy and in hope. And Lord, that you would help us to love, loving one another earnestly. Lord, that we would stand in all joy and in peace, believing so that we could have the power of the Holy Spirit that would just come and help our hope abound twice as much as it was before. Lord, we thank you that all we have to do is come to you and just say, you know what, Lord, we've messed up. We've sinned. We've made a mess of things. And Lord, we want to ask your forgiveness. We want to walk and feel that new passion like we did when we first became saved. We want to praise you and thank you that all we had to do was come to you. We couldn't work our way through this. Forgive us for trying to ever do that, but that we just now receive and say thank you in Jesus' name for this restoration. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are renewing a loyal spirit in us, that you're restoring the joy of our salvation, and that you're making us willing to obey you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We do stand right now, and we come against the spirits of division or frustration or depression. In Jesus' name, you must leave us now, never more to return. Lord, we call forth abundance. Lord, we thank you that we are here to receive the blessings that you've prepared for us, to have that abundant life, to have the latter be better and greater than the former. We love you and we praise you. Lord, I do pray also, Lord, for Carol's sister Sherry. We rebuke the enemy of sickness, of dis-ease, of infection, of virus, in Jesus' name. And we command right now that every cell in her body line up according to how she was created, fearfully and wonderfully, according to the Word of God. And that she walks with unwavering faith, believing that she is healed and that she's going to act as if the Word of God is true, not giving in to symptoms, not giving in to pain, not giving in to the lies of the devil. We know that it tells us in the Word that we were healed over 2,000 years ago. So, Father God, I just pray that she will act as if she is healed. We love you, Lord. We pray that you will wrap your arms around those that have lost loved ones in Arkansas in this terrible tornado. Lord, I pray that if any other storms come and ravage, Lord, that you would be there with your people and you would wrap your loving arms around them and that they would be protected. Send your mighty warring angels to fight off the storm. Thank you for the peace that you provide for us. Lord, we thank you that we will not have any more wasted moments. We will not allow the enemy to come in and destroy. Lord, help us to be faithful with our tithe as well, because we know that in Malachi 3, you tell us that you love us, love a cheerful giver, not a tearful giver, and that you want to bless us and that you want us to test you, but we need to not rob you, but that we need to give our tithes, our full tithes, and watch the blessings that we'll have so many that we won't be able to contain them. And Lord, we don't want to rob you. We don't want to allow the enemy to come in to be able to destroy. So help us to be faithful to the storehouse in which we are spiritually fed, that we give them one-tenth of everything that we earn. Lord, we love you that you give us your principles, your hope. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for restoration in every area in our lives and in our businesses. We love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have an awesome week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that your week is blessed, and I would love to hear how the Lord is restoring you and restoring things back in your life and into your business, because I know he's going to do that for you this week. I know that you're going to have a restored business, that your bookings, your sales, your recruits, your leaders, anything that's been lost will be restored. Stand in faith, believing with that peace and all joy, until the moment you see it.
Yes.
Take care. I love you guys. I'll talk with you next week. Bye now.